This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Forgotten War. This is how American media refers to the Korean War, a conflict between North and South Korea fueled and funded by communist Chinese and capitalist American military might that took place between 1950 and 1953. It's an unfortunately accurate characterization of how the war is perceived stateside, despite it resulting in the deaths of at least 1.75 million Koreans, a large portion of whom were civilians. In fact, the Korean War might have been fully memory-holed if not for one lingering after-effect, an American military presence in South Korea that continues to this day, ostensibly to protect the country from its neighbor to the north, the totalitarian state ruled by cherubic basketball enthusiast Kim Jong-un. And it's that presence in South Korea that led to the creation of a dish now beloved the world over, Korean-style fried chicken. During and after the war, American service members deployed in Korea introduced fried chicken, their national dish by way of Scotland and West Africa, to the local population, who more commonly cooked chicken in soups. While high post-war food prices put the dish out of reach for many, by the 1970s a booming economy cratered domestic cooking oil and chicken prices, leading to the explosion of a distinct Korean variant of the breaded bird, usually double-fried and sauced. In 1977, Yoo Seok-ho, a Korean national who'd spent time in the U.S., founded Lim's Fried Chicken in Seoul, the first of what would be many competing standalone and chain restaurants serving the dish, often accompanied by pickled radish and beer. Not even the arrival of American sector kingpin KFC in 1984 could stem the tide of Korean fried chicken's prominence on the peninsula. In 2002, restaurateur Jin Duk-seo founded a Korean fried chicken outlet in Busan, which in short order expanded across South Korea, Asia, and ultimately North America, with its first U.S. outlet opening in New Jersey in 2007. Today, with over 300 locations worldwide, this deep-fried poultry eatery whose name translates to My Hometown has seemingly come to everyone's hometown. This week on Doughboys, Banchan Chicken. Welcome to Doughboys, the podcast about chain restaurants. I'm Nick Weiger, along with my co-host, Nap King Cole, the Spoon Man, Mike Mitchell.
That's not even that's not really, doesn't hurt my feelings, that one.
I like that angle, though. That people don't talk about, enough about you being someone who takes a lot of naps, being a sleepy
guy. I don't take
guy.
A lot of naps.
I think you're pretty nap, I think you're pretty nap prone.
Okay, sure.
I've been on the road with you.
Oh yeah, no, you're sick of them making fun of my weight. You want them to move on to something else about me. That's
that was
cool,
courtesy.
Wikes.
That was courtesy of Forrest. Love the show. Have been a fan since birthday boy days. Hope you guys are staying safe.
Wow.
RoastSpoonMan@gmail.com.
That's specifically me. That's not you, Wags.
I was in an episode.
All right, fair enough. I was gonna say, don't pretend that you were one of. You would blend in perfectly with the 17. Boring white men that we were.
Mitch, we have discussed this week's chain a little bit on text, and I feel like I want to give a disclaimer for our listeners that there's a hot take alert. I want to give people a hot take warning because you gave just a searing take.
That's true.
Just a scorcher of a take.
I did.
That I almost dropped my phone when I read it, and it'll be coming in the second half of this episode when we get into this week's chain Banchan.
What'd you almost drop it into? Right into the toilet?
Like I was standing over the toilet, urinating?
Jacking off.
Oh, no, I'm not a fucking animal. Fucking shooting ropes directly into the bowl. It's disgusting.
Oh, Jesus. You made it even. I mean, you didn't have to say shooting ropes into the toilet.
All right, I'm sorry. What do you think goes on there? That's what you're implying.
Wags.
Yes.
Oh, wait, I shouldn't say this because You know, I'll talk about a different thing. Because we're going to save it for a double, something I sent you.
Hmm.
Something that I sent you?
Little tease for an upcoming Doughboys double.
All right, good. I didn't know if that you even knew what I was talking about, for God's sakes.
I don't, but...
I got sent something.
Yes.
I got sent two things this week, and I'll just quickly talk about them. One was a mystery letter that we didn't understand what it was, and it seemed like some sort of threat.
Yes.
And then it was like a weird coded thing where each letter, the start of a sentence was highlighted. And we were trying to figure it out. The Doze Cord figured out it was from these people, Hockamock Press. But we thought that someone was basically threatening my life when we first read it.
Yes. Yeah, it did look like something that came from a serial killer.
I thought it was from you, honestly. I really did. I thought it was like a joke.
Right.
But kind of sad that it wasn't a person that was trying to get me.
You're disappointed by that.
It was just kind of a publicity thing, you know what I mean?
Right.
And then also I got the mailwoman came by, she gave me a bag and she said this package came damaged. She gave me a bag that was basically just a bag in a plastic bag, like a bag of soup.
Like a Ziploc bag?
Yeah, it was in like a plastic bag. It was just soup. And it says, so here's this letter. Doughboys, July 2020. I love the podcast. I've listened the whole quarantine. Thanks for all the laughs. I'm sending you my favorite salsa from a small business in Brooklyn and these CVS brand theater mix gummies that I think are so much fun. Take care, enjoy, stay safe. Hashtag Nangang, hashtag Spoon Nation Kim. I got sent some relish, like some red relish salsa, and it was just destroyed in a bag. It was a bag of goop I got.
You can ship, this is what I'm confused by. Mm-hmm. You can ship salsa across the country in a bag?
No, it got damaged. It was like in an envelope.
Oh, okay. I was so confused.
It was in a padded envelope.
So it was like a jar. It was a jar.
It was a jar, yeah, but the jar was smashed. But I saved the gummies. I'm going to eat the gummies myself, Wags. You don't get any.
How
sorry.
Exciting.
It was. I got a bag of salsa. The lady, the male woman, basically just handed me a bag of salsa. It was fucking nasty.
She probably just didn't bat an eye. As far as stuff that's, I'm sure a number of foodstuffs have been delivered in bags to your apartment.
I will say that I just ate. With chips, I just ate it right out of the bag. Anyways, hi-ho to Spoon Nation. We're going to get to our guests, but here's a little drop. Unga Pashka,
Unga, Unga, Unga Pashka. There's a running current on this show that Weiger might be a horrible pedophile. Unga, Unga, Pashka, Unga, Unga, Pashka,
Unga, 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 Pashka, Unga, Unga, I mean, it's fun to kiss kids.
Well, that's that, Nick. Could you hear it?
It sounded like it was playing on a TV across the street, but I could kind of make out a Mario sound at the end.
Well, I couldn't. For our listeners, there's been an issue. Emma is gone. We've lost Emma. She's the host of our Zoom, and she's gone.
She heard that salsa bag thing. She's like, I'm fucking out of here.
And so I couldn't share the screen for these for Nick and our guest to hear, but Nick, you'll listen to it later, I'm sure. I'll send you a link.
It was another
Unga Watchka thing, and then I made fun of you for being a pedophile. I mean, it's classic stuff.
Classic stuff.
Hey guys, this is my first time making a drop. I'm curious why there isn't an Applebee's episode. Also, Super Mario Odyssey is better than Breath of the Wild. Kyle McDonald. That's from Kyle. Thanks, Kyle. Good drop.
A hot take, Kyle. Not as hot as Mitch's take coming in the second half of this show.
Jeez, you're really building up my take.
It's a hot take. And hey, we got a hot guest. He's the CEO of Easy PR, appearing on the show for the first time, Ed Zitron. Hi, Ed.
How you doing? I really want to hear this hot take. Is it about the food? Is it about the ownership of Bonchon? There's a lot going on. Like a Ghislaine Maxwell joint. like Ghislaine Maxwell owns Bonchon. just completely off the rails immediately.
I think Epstein is alive and cooking chicken in the Bonchon kitchen.
Wow.
Nick, I won't say, I'm not going to say it now, obviously, but
yes,
I will say that it has a bunch of like caveats to it. I'm standing by what I said to you.
Yes. I'm interested to hear it.
All this lead up, this better be bloody good.
Yeah.
It's not. Ed,
it's not.
He fucked up really bad.
No, it's not that good.
Okay,
it's not that good.
Ed, thank you for being here. I realized as Mitch was talking, because you are a PR professional, and Mitch was talking about what ended up being a PR debacle. They had, I don't know if you saw this, I assume you have, where they had mailed out to a bunch of different, I guess, influencers, and Mitch is counted among them somehow, like a weird, you know, coded message that people took as Mitch did, as a threat, and it was to promote some upcoming book.
Yeah, it was.
But that's great, though. The best thing to do with the media, I find, is to make them scared or upset. People love that.
Right.
I had no problem with it. Other people seemed to be terrified, but you
enjoy bag salsa.
Yeah, you already have a death wish.
It's like you're just like, you know what? This red substance that I just received,
Ed,
it's probably not poisoned.
Ed, don't knock it till you try it, my friend. You gotta try some bag salsa yourself.
I would try it with the full intention of dying.
Well, I think that's kind of what I, you know, like. If I opened my door and there was someone there to kill me, I think I would probably say, like, it's about time. Let's do this.
Can I take a piss first?
Right. Much like Matt Damon at the end of The Departed.
Yes, a lot like Damon.
Like, he just sort of like, okay. He just sort of accepts it. You know what's coming.
That's a great moment.
Your Boston colleague.
Yes, we're colleagues. We're Boston colleagues. You know, it's funny. We don't talk ever. Me and Damon and me and all the Boston guys, we never talk.
Really, the three of you don't ever hang out?
He's probably intimidated.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of cities, Ed, you are living in Vegas right now.
Wow.
And
I am.
You've been there for a bit. I'm curious because it seems like Vegas has really. I mean, it's as everyone knows, this is obvious that it's super reliant on tourism. And I'm curious of what it's like being there during a lockdown during this current COVID crisis.
So a lot of the people here, well, I don't know one Vegas local who actually goes to the casinos in general. Like for the most part, people here stay home. They're all like weird shut-ins like me, everyone I've met, which is great. But there is it is no weirder than California felt. So I was in California first. Well, it's California before this, at least. People here are just kind of like, the moment the casinos opened, everyone went, they're going to close immediately. This is a stupid idea. Let's close them down again. And then everyone working at the casinos basically went, well, guess I'll die then. This is like, off I go.
Jesus.
Right.
Everyone's pulling Matt Damon's.
It's the new thing.
Yes.
You realize this country's never going to get its act together. We're just going to Matt Damon our way to the end. The footage I saw early on of Vegas reopening and then just like swarms of people going into the casinos was nightmarish. And I guess they've ratcheted things back a little bit where now everyone has, you have to have a mask to go to any of these places. But it still seems just like just breathing in recirculated air while you're gambling for hours just seems like such an awful place to be.
Well, I moved months ago and I've not been to a casino yet.
Wow.
Because I'm really attached to not dying painfully and killing all my family. And basically, no one I know has gone either. I had a friend and he brought his kid with and his kid went to the strip. And I found that out yesterday. This was a month ago they visited. And I immediately got on the phone and said some deeply unkind words to him.
Wow.
Because I was not informed. My wife intentionally did not tell me, knowing exactly what I would say and do. And to her credit, she was 100% correct. But
wow,
for the most part, I felt no great need because the thing that people don't realize about Vegas is it's incredibly residential. There is a lot of housing. there are a lot of things to do that are not related to the casinos. I've been near the Strip because I wanted to go and look at the Raiders Stadium because I have season tickets. And for some reason, they won't let me in. They keep arresting me when I go inside. I am the coach, but they won't believe me.
Wow. So some, wow. Yeah, it's just big ridiculous. News.
Honestly, if I find John Gruden and just buy him like a few quarts of milk, I think he'll let me have a go. But I think the... But it's really interesting because traffic is fairly... we're still getting traffic. People are still out and about. And for the most part, I haven't seen anyone without a mask. Everyone is masking up. Everyone is taking it fairly safely. And from what I understand, the casinos are all demanding masks. They have mask stations. And the big difference is with Vegas and everyone else is you've seen all these horrible things. Those people wearing like Nazi regalia as a mask or
right.
screaming. Vegas is used to people being insane because people lose money. People lose money. They start screaming and threatening you. Someone yes. being like, I ain't wearing a mask. You out. Those people are like, fine, get the fuck off my property then. Oh, you want to fight? Great. Cool. I will kick you out the door.
Like, right.
They're used to it. And from what I understand, they should never have opened at all. Yeah. Everyone should still be closed and they are still open somehow. But it's actually quite hard to gauge residentially the effect of tourism because these two things are quite separated. People, well, at least I've visited Vegas a lot in the last 10 years or so. Been in America 12 years and I've been quite a lot. And you don't really go near the residential area. So it's not like even when the protests have been happening, they've been happening in downtown Vegas and on the Strip. I've not seen them. I've not heard them.
Right.
Like it's weird how Vegas that the rest of the world knows is so separated from the Vegas that I know. And that's just because I live there.
It's a small stretch, like the actual, you know, it's a pretty compact area where all the casinos are. You're right. And then there's you know, like the sprawling suburbs, like much of America. It's just, you know, a little, the greater metropolitan area is so large. But it is, the thing I'll say, because I visited Vegas, I actually like Vegas a lot. But part of what I like about Vegas is it's a really good food city, and I don't just mean like the fancy ass restaurants inside the casinos, the white tablecloth joints from celebrity chefs. But there are some good ones there. But there are, like, you'll go off strip like 15 minutes to a strip mall, and there'll be a Thai restaurant that'll have like mind blowing food. Is there any Vegas eats in particular, or any places that you particularly like?
I mean, there are a bunch of local Chinese places I've tried that I do not remember the name of because I keep them all on DoorDash and I'm a piece of shit and I really shouldn't use DoorDash. But I tip very well and I'm very sorry. But one thing I found is that there is just, I'm a chain person. I'm not going to pretend like I'm fancy. I'm British. Every American chain is better than every Michelin star restaurant in England.
Wow.
Now, that's a hot take.
That's a hot take.
That's the hottest take. That's way hotter than my take.
I know. Someone's going to be really upset about that. Someone's going to. And the answer is, I moved thousands of miles to get away from London. I don't care. But in all seriousness, there's like every chain here. There's a Grimaldi's.
Yeah.
Just
in Vegas just, specifically.
Yeah. And everyone delivers. And everything here is around 20 minutes away.
What's your favorite thing to get at a Vegas buffet? Do you got a choice for a Vegas buffet?
Depends what I've been doing. If I've been drinking heavily, it's straight to the pizzas. Breakfast pizza time.
That's a good call.
Breakfast pizzas.
As in, like, it's not special pizza. It's just I'm eating pizza at 9:30 a.m. If they have it, some of them do. There used to be this truly. Maybe it still exists. Truly gluttonous thing. You could pay like $50 for the buffet of buffets. You could eat at like five or six different buffets, either all day or for like half the day. And I used to eat way too much. And that was part of it. I would say I usually always test the waters with the sushi. I'm yet to get sick. Knock on wood.
People will like sushi. People will do crab leg. There's a lot of different things. Me. I go straight for the bag salsa when I'm there.
You got any salsa in a bag? I see you got the plastic. Mind bagging that up for me? And the guy's just like, I don't. Sorry, sir.
It's Vegas. They'll do it. They'll do it for
They'll
you.
Do it, yeah.
I'll get the Ziplocs in the back. It's a gold member. Get him the gallon ones.
Ed, you now living in Vegas during Corona, it does seem nerve-wracking. But on top of that, do you ever live in fear because of the movie Mars Attacks? Takes place in Vegas.
Great question.
As I've established, I pray for death. So, and bug-eyed, balding, white creatures that I dislike, I've moved away from England. But no, with Vegas mostly, I fear falling into some sort of deal that with someone who turns out to be Satan himself and having to risk my life in a game of chance. That's my biggest worry.
Yeah,
I guess that's maybe above the Mars Attacks fears. As when you go to Vegas, the things that you should fear most, I guess, is getting into a deal with the devil.
Yeah, yes. Because you're not necessarily going to lose your eternal soul if you are, you know, evaporated by some sort of alien ray.
Yeah, you may still go to hell, probably for me, or heaven.
Yeah, so I guess top three fears, just to get them out of there. Gambling with the devil, one. Mars Attacks, two.
Nuke.
Nuke's up there.
Oh, nuke, yes.
Somehow, like, the Nevada testing site decides to shoot one upwards. I don't know how that would happen.
Right.
Versus downwards.
That's three.
Even though it's shut down. Yeah, there's three.
That's three. Four is getting trapped on a roof the day before.
Oh, yeah.
For your bachelor party, I guess.
That's rough. And, you know, hopefully.
Oh, I just thought you meant like dehydrating up there.
It's really that's what almost standard. Happened to Bartha. He was sun scorched.
Oh, God.
He was parched.
Poor Bartha.
I'd like to see the Hangover Gaidan where we just get to see Bartha's side of the story.
Wow. Like a 2 hours just on the rooftop, just one setting.
Just a performance piece for him. It'd be like a Gus Van Sant thing. We'll just sort of like get, you know,
wow.
Just alone time with Bartha as he's trying to survive. You know what it'll be like?
Hey, it's going to be directed by Gus Van Sant?
Yes. No. Yeah. I'm
Here's
recruiting
what
him.
I want. Here's what I want. I want an Ocean's 11 or 12 or 13 sequel where it's just Don Cheadle doing different other accents. After he just completely ruined the British one, he's just doing like a bunch of other, or he's just playing every other character.
Weiger.
It's just, God, his accent. I watched all of those movies before moving, and I was like, this is so good. And then randomly he's like, you're all mate. Hey, this or Dino from London.
We thought that was, and Americans probably thought that he just was British.
Damn, he's British. Yeah. This British guy sounds weird. And what's crazy is there are so many good British actors they could have got. It's not like the movie was cheap.
Yeah, it's. I think that cartoon is what a lot of Americans think British people sound like. But it is always fascinating when someone like completely butchers a British or conversely like an American accent. You'll see that a lot. You'll run into the guy who's like the esteemed British actor gets cast as like, I am a Brooklyn guy.
Hello there.
It's me.
It's me, yeah. America man.
Right. Yeah.
Have you seen Tom Brady?
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I always get asked to do an American accent. The moment that happens, I just can't. And even that was like, I can't do an American accent anyway. But the moment they try, they like, go on, do one. I'm just like, I'm an American. Nah, I can't do it. My brain just shuts down.
Wags, quickly to get back to Gus Van Sant, Wags.
Yes.
Did you find his movie Elephant to be factually accurate?
All right. I did want to return to. Vegas being kind of the ultimate
what, you didn't
chain
like
restaurant.
That? You didn't like it?
Just right by him.
I'm not an authority on massacring your fellow students at a high school, so I can't speak to its accuracy, Mitch.
Well,
now, Ed, you brought up Tom Brady too, and Nick, we're gonna get to your question. Just one second,
right.
But I gotta say. I don't know if the NFL season's going to happen, Nick. A lot of opt-outs are happening. I feel like it's just not going to happen.
Aaron Hernandez, he opted out.
Oh, geez.
Yes.
Sorry.
He self Matt Damon a while back.
Dear Lord.
No, I actually have Raiders season tickets, so I'm like, I'm watching the season get cut down. It's not going to happen.
I don't think it's going to I feel like it's not going to happen. And then Brady's whole choice is just a year gone, so.
Were you a Raiders fan prior to the Vegas move?
I was. I've always loved shit teams or mediocre teams.
Mm.
Other than Washington, who I just find despicable, I've always enjoyed kind of mediocrity.
Right.
I guess it's the British in me. I've always been like, I really wanted like Garner Minshew to do well, just because he looks and sounds and is Florida. And I want the Raiders to do well now because the owner looks like Tweedledee or Tweedledum. And
oh, yeah.
He uses a Nokia 3210. And he's just the opposite of, honestly, even like a middle-class guy. He doesn't look like any, he looks like someone who lives in Vegas buffets.
Yeah, Al Davis is like, he'd be walking around with one of those like 4 foot long drinks, those 4 foot yes. tall drinks that you get with a giant crazy straw.
Or like a big lollipop.
So it's Mark Davis, right? That's Al Davis's son.
Yeah.
That's the mm-hmm. that's the owner. And yeah, he has this, if you don't follow the NFL, he has, which I don't, but but I am aware of him. He has this bowl cut, and he apparently famously flies, I think, to Sacramento to his barber to get that exact same shitty haircut.
he is the ultimate fail son, I feel like, but at that level you just are, it doesn't matter.
It's so much more charming than guys who have been given spurious jobs at hedge funds or think tanks that churn out 90 different papers a year about why 4-year-olds need a handgun.
Right. Yeah, give me a Mark Davis over a Robert Sarver any day of the week.
Ah,
oh, yeah, here's some. He's showing.
Christ almighty.
Mitch just screen shared photos of the late Al Davis, the former Raiders owner.
This is Emperor Snoke.
Yeah, this is a failed Snoke clone for sure.
He does look like a failed Snoke clone. I don't mean to speak ill of the.
You failed me, Antonio.
He was dead before that. Sorry.
I don't mean to speak ill of the dead, but this is the first image in his Google search. It's the first one that comes
gnarly.
Up.
He's one of those, you compare him to, like, as far as decaying octogenarians go, it's like him versus Sumner Redstone versus, who's the fucking Vegas mogul?
Not Steve
Wynn. Piece of shit.
Albert.
Steve Wynn looks pretty awful.
Steve Wynn both was and is awful. Sadly alive.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's a rare instance when someone that rich and terrible actually suffers any consequences at all.
Mm.
I think that's why people are so gratified by like the Harvey Weinstein thing.
And he's not suffering enough.
Yeah, it's true.
There are so many ways he could suffer more. Just come up with a new one every week. Have a competition for it. Give away his money to people for the good ideas.
Make
Suspend
Weiger
the Geneva Convention.
Make Weiger his cellmate.
God.
What would he do?
Yeah, what would I do? Just annoy him?
Yeah, pretty much.
I think I'm a pleasant conversationalist.
Just a really awkward Doughboys episode.
Yeah. Yeah, people would walk by and be like, hey, the Doughboys are locked up together.
I set myself up for that
one.
I'll think of that monster I'm thinking of later in the episode, and I'll turn
your monitor on.
Yeah.
was that the question that I interrupted before? Was you going to ask him what his other favorite sports teams are? I felt like you were saying something different.
Oh, did I like the Raiders?
Yeah, I was asking about the Raiders prior to relocating to Vegas. But earlier, I did want to talk about Vegas as the ultimate chain restaurant hub, because this is a thing you and I had talked about before, Ed. And it's a... Like, you mentioned there's a Grimaldi, but they have literally everything. And I've thought about just, like, for practical purposes, in terms of doing this shitty podcast, it's, like, the best possible place you could live. Because there will
be a
place that has, you know, like a Chicago area chain that has, you know, 20 outlets in Illinois and then one in Vegas. And that's it. That's their only one out of
they
their
don't
the
have
Chicago
Whataburger.
Area.
That one
they
I
don't
want.
Have Whataburger. That I'm surprised by.
Ed, it's they didn't have Shake Shack until fairly recently, which they have now, and I love. And I think that they'll probably get a Whataburger eventually, because my theory with Vegas is maybe it won't be this year or next year, but I think you're going to see a lot of California people jump here because it's better weather, better housing, cheaper cost of living, less people from California. I mean, what else could you ask for?
Better weather, I'm surprised by.
It's like 50% humidity where I was in NorCal.
Wow.
And everyone's like, oh, it's too hot there. Almost everywhere I've been has shade and or AC.
Right.
Everywhere has AC, pretty much. And it's not like California's weather is reliable or necessarily nice all the time. It's very good, depending on where you are. It's just, I love Vegas weather. It's always sunny. Yeah, it's a bit hot, but I quite like that. It's like the erotic dream for any British person. Everyone has a pool. It's always hot and sunny. You can get food and it's affordable. No British people. It's all you could ask for. Except me, I guess.
I don't love Vegas. I kind of was rooting for the Martians and Mars Attacks, Nick. I wanted them to take down Vegas. I guess that was the world too.
I compare that to being like living here now and having been here for a few months. I compare it all the Strip to almost being like living in Oakland or Alameda and not liking San Francisco. The Strip is so removed from everything. And it really, like, you can, if you were teleported here from California and not told where you were, you wouldn't necessarily think Vegas. You might think Arizona. You might even think, like, Southern California. Because the residential areas are so removed. And I think it's by design. I don't think they wanted to be on top of the Strip. I don't think anyone wants that. You can see the light from the Luxor, and that's about it. And maybe I'll change on that in a few months or a few years, I don't know, but it is, you're removed from it all. And
it's kind of like judging all of New Orleans by Bourbon Street, or all of Los Angeles by Hollywood Boulevard, the Hollywood Walk of Fame, or all of New York City by Times Square. It's like, yes, there is this central sort of, you know, tourism hub, but it doesn't define the city. There's a lot more going on than that. You know what, actually the worst one of those we've been to was Broadway in Kentucky. In Nashville, that's what it was. Nashville, Tennessee, at Broadway. That was so fucking gnarly. Just like, it was like a worse Bourbon Street. People were so drunk and so mad.
The epicenter in Charlotte.
Oh, what is that?
Like the middle of Charlotte. Oh, it sucks. It's like, imagine if Vegas had no gambling, was more expensive, was in that climate, that horrible, like, humid. I used to live in North Carolina. Bojangles was about the only good thing. It's just this big, loud, garish shopping center with like really hard to get around streets. And then just the city feels incomplete somehow.
Right. Every major city has one of those, has just that obnoxious like commercial district where no one who lives there wants to ever go.
But that's the thing with Vegas, is they've separated it out. And then they have other commercial districts that are clearly like, look, you want normal shopping? We got this. Just go here if you're normal.
Right.
If you want the weird thing, we got it. You can't miss it.
I just want to say that I'm still mad that you compare me to Harvey Weinstein, but I want to say that also
there was a... I did not do that.
Oh, no. I'm saying to Nick.
Oh, okay.
But I'm also saying that you missed a joke opportunity that you could have said that he was more hung than I was.
Oh.
There you go. With his famously mangled genitals. Someone says like they dumped bleach on them. He's got some condition where basically he doesn't have like a dick. He's just got like a scrotum. It's fucking it's really gross.
He is a monster.
He's a literal monster. But the detail about it that really sickened me more than his fucked up junk is just he has like all these blackheads on his back. And multiple witnesses describe just like these clusters of like, in some cases, like dime sized blackheads. And his back was like hard, like a turtle shell.
Oh, cool.
Like, this is fucking disgusting.
Cool. This is the guy you compared me to, you piece of shit. It's nauseating.
It's so gross. But pivoting from that to back to chain restaurants. So you mentioned Bojangles. Which is a fried chicken place that I've actually never been to, but famed in the South. We're reviewing a fried chicken chain this week. I'm curious about your fried chicken preferences, and also where does fried chicken rank in your tiers of in your indulgent food hierarchy?
It's really good fried chicken is near the top. Jollibee, I have to be in the mood for because it's a certain kind of greasy.
Mm.
Like, I need it to be like a really intense workout day so I don't feel too bad. Not that fried chicken's ever good for you, but Jollibee has a particular squidge to it, I guess you'd call it.
Yeah. You make a great point about the types of greasy.
Yeah.
Which I feel like I could be like a grease. Is it sommelier? The same thing.
Grease sommelier.
Just in that sort of thing of, we even just noticed it this last in the last couple of weeks. Wags is that thing of Albertson's fried chicken and that the greasiness of that compared to the greasiness of the Ralph's fried chicken. Like
100%.
It's huge. Grease.
Yeah, it's huge.
Grease
huge
makes a huge difference, and I know exactly what you're talking about with Jollibee's just immediately. Right away. I know exactly what you mean.
It makes you kind of tired.
It is exhausting.
Yeah.
But it's still good when you're in the mood, and it reminds me of the greasiest fried chicken I've ever had, which was if they do like whole chicken legs. It's Mixed Fish Bar on North Pole Road in London, where I grew up, on Bracewell Road, I believe. Go there now if it's still open. No idea. Never going to find out. And they used to do like, that was like the skin would just slip off.
Wow.
Yeah. Not good for you. I used to be a very heavy child putting the pieces together and that like Columbo now. But my favorite fried chicken place is actually in Vegas. It's a place called Yardbird.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
I don't know if it's a chain or if it's just like a local thing, but it's really good. It's in the Venetian. I love that place. It's just the right level of grease.
Is that from a celebrity chef?
I don't know. I assume everything in there is.
Yeah.
But I might be wrong. But Yardbird's very good. I really like Raisin Cane's is okay. I wasn't like super blown away by it. And we'll get to, I assume we're going to get to Bon Chon later, but I'm trying to think of other, like KFC's just like, especially here, I have so many other options.
Right.
Yeah.
And bottom of the barrel is Black Bear Diner.
Wow. Shots fired at Black Bear Diner.
No, they're fried chicken.
They're fried chicken specifically.
Yeah.
That's one of those things where I feel like the places sometimes just have it on their menu, but it's not their specialty. And that's just like, stay away. There's no reason to get fried chicken at that place.
Ed, you don't like Raising Cane's, you said?
It's okay. The chicken tenders are pretty good. But again, when I have all these other options, it becomes much harder to be like, oh yeah, let's get Raising Cane's.
Yeah, and I've never had Raising Cane's. Raising Cane's, rather. I will go in with
Raising Cane's. Raising Cane's.
Raising Cane's, I will go into with an open mind when we do ultimately review it for the show. Yeah. But I will say I have some inherent skepticism towards tendies. I feel like I'd rather get that chicken on the bone versus the chicken strips. I feel like it's never quite as good.
I don't like that you call them tendies, though.
Yeah, me neither. It's like calling them chicky nuggies.
All right, fine. For Ed's sake, I won't say tendies on the rest of the show.
Tenders.
Yes.
Vocal coach.
Tenders, please.
Tenders, sir.
I was going to say that for me, the greasy, I like tenders, and I like fried chicken. I like them both. But for me, when there's a bad grease to it, it can taste like dirty. It tastes a little bit dirty.
Yeah, exactly.
You get that dirt flavor.
I'm looking at my DoorDash history as well, my Postmates history, to see what I can dig out.
Sheldon Adelson, that's the guy. That's the ghoul. That's who I was thinking of. That guy looks like shit.
Wow. That's a ghoul. That's a ghoul of the week.
He looks fucking awful. And a terrible man. Looks as bad on the outside as he is on the inside. So, yes. So, you mentioned, Ed, and we've talked about your article on the show before, where you talked about your how super into Peloton you got as someone who, like Mitch and I, has your weight has fluctuated over the course of your life. You've had heavier periods and leaner periods, and you've struggled finding an exercise that connected for you. But for you, it was Peloton and like the gamification of it. And you're keeping up with it because this article was from a few years ago.
Yeah, it was from like end of 2018.
Something
November,
like that.
But it may also have been 2019. All the years kind of blended together.
The before time.
So, yeah, I'm still doing it. I did it just before the show, and I was off it last week because I injured myself. And actually, when I moved, I lost a bunch of power, and I had like a madness period where I thought I got the coronavirus. Because like a bad loser, I was like, I got the coronavirus. That's why I'm weaker. Not just like I...
got weaker. I was just like, tried to, and I like nearly tweeted that. And I was like, no, that's, I sound insane. And I did, so I didn't do it. Yeah, I still do it. I still do it. And actually when I moved, I have a rack, like a squat rack now. So I actually lift 5 times a week and Peloton 4 times a week because the Peloton got me used to just tick boxes again.
Yes.
So now I just like, I have to do it. Otherwise I go insane. But yeah, the whole gamification is partly that and partly just the average wattage and the miles and all that. I need something to look at that is more than just I worked out for time. Because if I work out for time, that's boring. I have no idea why I'm doing it. But if I work out and have to reach a goal or hit certain numbers, I could do that. And it's really good. Yeah, it's been really good. And it allows me to keep eating like complete shit, which is one of my favorite
things. I'm sorry, because the expression I hear is you can't outrun a bad diet. But I've had times when I've like for me, what's worked best in terms of losing weight, even though I like to exercise and I remain pretty active in general, I still can be exercising and still just getting fat as shit. But if I like dial in my nutrition, like the period where I lost the most weight in my life, where I lost about 40 pounds and kept it off for a while, I was like, I was just walking. That was the only exercise I was doing. And then I just had a very, very strict diet.
I can beat that. I lost 100 pounds when I was 17.
Wow.
And it was only Atkins. Absolute. I was as sedentary as ever.
That's amazing.
Wow.
And I fully admit it, I have like genuine like mental problems with my weight. Like I feel fat no matter what. The only time I've not felt fat was when I was like 19 and I weighed 130 pounds.
I had a similar, yeah.
I looked like Sarah Jessica Parker. I was just not good. Not a good look for me at least. And that was the only time I didn't like feel fat. So right now when I work out, it's to maintain, and when I lift, I just lift, and it's awesome, and I love it. Peloton, I enjoy less at the moment because I'm coming off an injury, but it's you can't outrun a bad diet, but you can work out so much that it kind of evens out.
Right.
I am not a nutritionist. Do not. What works for me does not work. Like my wife eats worse than I do, and she is 90 pounds.
Wow.
Nothing changes. She
we
never
similarly
works out.
Have my wife as well. She can. It seems like she can eat whatever she wants, and she doesn't gain weight. She's naturally very, very lean, and I'm envious of that. But of course, you know, not being able to put on weight has.
Then I watched her though, and her portions are much smaller.
Oh, is that what it is? I only look at my plate when I'm eating.
Yeah, I don't need to look. I just know it's going to be gone. Put that shit in front of me.
Well, Wags, when I rode crew, which maybe people listeners don't know about, when I rode crew in college, I did not eat a special diet in that, and I lost a ton of weight just because it was so much activity all the time. But looking back on that, I'm like, oh, if I had just eaten healthy all.
Yes.
It would have made like a huge difference.
Yeah.
Oh no, my whole thing was when I was post divorce in 2014, I was like, if I'd have done Peloton then, I'd have been like just ripped as shit. I did it when I was happy and overweight.
Hey, life is hard and it's bad.
God damn my fucking wife making me happy.
That's what they do. Yeah. They make you happy. You get a wife, all of a sudden you're happy.
They want you to marry
the
them.
Way to rub it in.
I love you. I love you. Get married to me.
God let me tuck you in. Give you a good night kiss.
Wait, what?
I love you and I want to make sure you're okay.
Fucking Jesus.
Unbelievable.
Oh, let me change your diaper and powder your bottom. Ugh, I get it. You're my wife. That's what you do.
There we go. There it goes.
So
boy.
So you have you're exercising a lot, because this is the same thing with me is that I have like exercising to maintain, I feel like works for me, but because I'm heavier than I'd like to be currently, like I feel like I'm driving myself nuts because I know that I have to restrict my diet in order to actually drop some poundage, and it's I don't know. I mean, like, the Peloton thing is intriguing. I guess a lot of people just, like a lot of people do respond to just, like, the numbers increasing, like you were saying.
I should also be clear. I do it a lot.
Yes, you do it, like almost
obsessively.
I burn
a lot. I do it, like, at least an hour a day, 4 days a week. There's one day where I do it at least an hour and 45. So I do lose weight because at some point I am overwhelming my system and it's just giving up, which is a very me thing to do. And it's there is a difference between, because I know I have friends of mine who are struggling with weight loss too, who are like, I do it every day too. I'm like, how much? And I don't mean it judgmentally. I'm just like, compare the caloric burn, compare time on bike. And it's nothing like, if you want to do it, but they're like, I want to really lose weight. I'm like, how are you eating too? And they're like, well, you eat badly. I'm like, I know. I'm aware. I'm also not talking about, I'm not texting you and being like, I need to lose weight.
Right.
And it's one of those things where it's just like, weight. I understand intimately how much weight can like mess with your brain and how even like the reward system with weight is very strange. Because you want to lose the weight and you have the intention of losing the weight, but the amount you actually have to do to really lose a lot of weight is mental and physical on quite a huge level. And I don't think people realize that. But I also know every lie I've ever told myself about losing weight.
Mm.
Like every time I've been like, well, I worked out today, I burned like 1,500 calories, so I eat 3,000. Like, that is not...
right.
Like, that is... The reason I put on weight there is because I ate a great deal. And it was not good.
Hey, Ed, I hope this doesn't come off as offensive, but...
Nah.
It sounds like you're friends with a bunch of dumbass fatties.
You're friends with a bunch of Doughboys listeners?
So, do I call them fatty, fatty no-mates? Yes. No. I call myself, I've never insulted it. Well, that's probably not true. I don't remember the last time I insulted someone for their weight other than myself, which is literally every time I look in the mirror. Like every, oh yeah, I'm like, I definitely have some kind of long set trauma. Because I was made fun of for being fat for like 7 years of high school. Like, whatever you call, like the period between 11 and 17. And also how many years that is, because that is not 7 years. But...
Ed, you got to do what I do. Don't look in the mirror.
Just like Beast from Beauty and the Beast.
It's
the cloak. It's like,
I was going to go Great Expectations because we have a British guest.
I was going to go Dracula.
I want Shallow Hal, but for myself.
We'll take a break. We'll be back with more Doughboys. Oh, boy, Mitch. Mother's Day's coming up. You got sweaters, candles, the dreaded bathrobe. Mm. Unfortunately, Mother's Day gifts can be a little predictable and boring. That's why an Aura frame is the perfect gift to mix things up this year. Named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter, Aura frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
Dreaded bathrobe covering mom up? Ugh.
Get that sweater off of you. Too many layers.
Wags, that's right. You know what? I'm guilty. I've given my mom too many of these boring gifts.
Yes.
Some sweaters, some candles, some dreaded bathrobes.
I've accidentally given my mom the same gift twice.
Wow.
It's really embarrassing. Or you end up getting like, oh, I guess I'll give you a gift card. I don't, you know, like it doesn't feel like there's any love behind that.
Well, guess what, Wags? I've also gifted my mom an Aura frame. That's right.
Wow.
This is the truth. Aura frames are Wi-Fi connected and come with unlimited storage so you can share as many photos as you want from your phone to mom's frame.
Not only will she be grateful it's not another sweater, she'll also love that an Aura frame means she gets to see more of you.
That's right. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's Aura, A-U-R-A, frames.com. Use code Doughboys at checkout to save. And you know what, Wags? My mom liked her Aura frame so much. This is true. She got my sister one, and now my sister's got one in her dining room.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Terms and conditions apply. Send photos you want from your phone to mom's frame. In fact, Mitch, I'm going to send your mom a photo right now.
The hell?
Enjoy, Mrs. Mitchell.
I love you, Mommy.
I love you, Mommy.
You're talking to your mom, right?
Yeah.
Hey, Mitch. I feel like during the summer, pretty much everything I'm doing outdoors is making me thirsty.
Yeah, I'll tell you what the issue is. That blasted sun.
Curse the sun.
Curse the sun.
Giver of life, but also...
Giver of heat.
Giver of a dehydrator in chief, I'd call it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Summer requires extraordinary hydration because of the sun that's built for everyday dehydrating moments. Yes.
The moon is cool.
Moon's real cool. When the moon is out, there's never a doubt. The moon is cool.
And when the sun's up high, you can't deny it's gonna be hot, 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 hot. Anyways, I think that we've expressed that the sun gets you hot in the summertime.
And the moon keeps you cool. Liquid IV hydrates you with benefits like electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients.
Mm-hmm.
With 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink plus 8 vitamins and nutrients in a single stick, it's clear why Liquid IV is the number one powdered hydration brand in America.
Wags, that's right. And you know what? It's so easy to just tear open a packet of Liquid IV, pour it into a cup, mix it up with some ice cold water, and drink it down. My favorite flavor, strawberry.
It's a hydration multiplier.
That's right.
Get you even more hydrated, and it's easier to stay hydrated while traveling. And you know what, Mitch? We like the taste.
I love the taste. And you know what? I love that I'm getting all those electrolytes, and I'm not getting filled up with sugars.
Yeah. I love the smell, too, and it helps you out, not just while traveling, but after a big night out. You know what I mean.
Come on.
The moon is cool.
Cool.
The moon is cool. Cool. Tear. Pour. Live more. 1 stick plus 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone.
And Wise, it's got 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, 8 vitamins and nutrients, non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, soy-free, and now sugar-free. We got white peach.
Wow.
Green grape.
Wow. Raspberry melon. And lemon lime.
That's right, Wags. Turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code Doughboys at checkout.
That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code Doughboys at liquidiv.com.
I love Liquid IV. You know why?
Why?
Because it's cool. Cool.
And the sun... It's hot. Mitch, listeners, did you know learning actually makes a sound? It's true. Listen to this. That's the sound of you learning a new language with Babbel.
Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language.
Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking new language in as little as 3 weeks. And Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations.
Wow. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world.
Mitch, you know what I love about Babbel is the courses are convenient. They help me learn real-life conversation skills in my chosen language, Spanish. Makes it easier to order food, ask for directions, speak to people here in Los Angeles without having to consult language apps while you're on the go.
Well, Wags, studies from Yale, Michigan State University, and others continue to prove Babbel is better. One study found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college.
And you don't want to go anywhere near a college campus these days with all those protests.
No thanks.
Babbel has over 16 million subscriptions sold. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 award-winning language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee.
Wags, and all those protesters out there... Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at Babbel.com/Doughboys.
Get up to 60% off at Babbel.com/Doughboys, spelled Babbel.com/Doughboys. Rules and restrictions may apply. Welcome back to Doughboys. We are here with Ed Zitron. This week's chain, Bonchon Chicken. Founded in 2002 in Busan, South Korea, Bonchon means my hometown, apparently, and now has about 100 locations in the U.S.
So Ed, there is a Bonchan in Vegas. I'm curious how you became a fan of Bonchan and why you want to discuss it on the show.
Weirdly enough, because when I was moving, we had like a month in Pleasanton, California, a truly featureless place. And I was like, I want some fried chicken. And I looked up Bonchan. I hadn't had Korean fried chicken in years. I had it when I was in New York. And I was like, I want some of this shit. And it's incredible. I love it. And it's in Vegas as well. And so I kept having it. My wife bloody hates it. She says it's too greasy for her.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, the big thing, because talking about the grease factor, the big thing with Korean fried chicken as a style in general, and I believe it's true for Bonchan, is it's generally double fried. So it has a different sort of texture to it than a lot of fried chickens. I love Korean fried chicken. Anytime I can have it, it's always so delicious and delightful and crispy. And I like the sides that you get with it. You know, I like the pickled radish you generally get with it. I like having fried chicken with rice. I think it's a great combo. Mitch, are you a big Korean fried chicken fan?
I like it. You know, I believe I went to Bonchan once before. I think there was one down south of where I live in Koreatown. I think there was a Bonchan at one point, and then it closed. But I could be wrong. It could have just been but I'm almost sure I went to a Bonchan.
Yes. I also feel like there are a bunch of places that are like that have names like Bonchan that are like, yes, you know, trying to like the.
It's kind of like Benihana. They're just like Benihana-esque.
Right.
Yes. And I don't know. It might have been a place like that, but I think it was a Bonchan. But yeah, no, I mean, I have very limited experience with it, but definitely a fan.
Yeah. And so I went to the San Gabriel location, which I think is where you went as well, Mitch.
That's correct.
Yeah. And by the way, I should tee it up again. We are now in the thick of discussing Bonchan. Mitch's hot take is coming. So
Jesus.
I hope you've adequately warmed up your brains to
dear
take
God
this level of heat that's going to come out of Mitch's mouth and into his microphone and into your ears. It is
sucks.
Quite a take. But I went to the San Gabriel location, which is about a 30-minute drive, and I was a little worried about the chicken traveling, because that's always you know, that's always a thing with something fried. I avoided fries as part of my order in anticipation of that. But I will say they do have a good to go setup there. The restaurant, the one we went to, I'm not sure, is the Vegas one have a huge floor plan? Because this seemed like it had a gigantic unused dining space.
I literally ordered delivery.
Oh, okay, got it.
Piece of crap. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine.
We can't go in there anyways. Right now it's that's a
I went in there.
Acceptable.
I took my mask off. I was like,
I was just surprised. Like I didn't expect it to be such a big. I thought it was going to be more of a takeout place, but it had a pretty good square footage there. That was completely unused.
Did you go inside, Nick?
No. This was going to say is their to go setup was they had, and I like it when places do this. They move the register basically to the entrance and then blockade it with some tables. So you're
which
not
rocks
even going inside the restaurant. So I got the, Natalie and I ordered the family meal, which is 12 wings and 6 drums. Got them half spicy, half soy garlic, which are their two flavors. I should clarify the wings and drums thing, because I thought that the wings were all going to be flats and the drums were going to be drumettes. Wings includes drumettes. If you get wings there, you are getting some flats and you're getting drumettes. The drums are actually big honking drumsticks. They are chicken legs and they are massive.
Yeah. They're a bit expensive.
They are expensive.
But also, yeah, that's one thing I'll say with Bonchan. It is expensive, but also it seems more expensive than it is because the drumsticks are big boys.
They are big.
Even for my voracious appetite. But I love the drums. I'm a drum boy. I love wings in general. Like, I'm a wing. I love ordering wings. But for this specific restaurant, the drums are fantastic. And you can, for the small, you can eat a fairly good dinner. Like, you'll be just fine. But I always get the drums because it's not like the drumettes. They're like full scale, size of your hand type things.
Yeah, they're huge. I'm surprised, actually. I was surprised with them because I didn't know I was getting drumsticks until I opened up the box and they were in there. But it made me surprised that they don't offer like just fried chicken, like they don't have thighs or breasts or anything. They just have wings and drumsticks.
I don't need that shit in my life. I'm glad someone's finally cut to the quick.
Wow.
If I could get drumsticks with every fried chicken place, I'd be just happy as a clam. I don't need any thighs. The thighs always get left whenever we have fried chicken at home. Drumsticks go quick. There's always thighs left over. You eat the thighs and the skin kind of pulls into your mouth. You're like, well, that's all the skin gone. That's it for the skin. No more skin. And then you just have that shitty bit underneath that you're like gristly. Just a mess.
Nick is livid right now, by the way.
I love thighs. I like eating thighs. I get what you're saying, that they are a little bit higher degree of difficulty in terms of consumption, but I think they're meaty and delicious if done right.
You know what? With a really good fried chicken place, they're great.
Yeah.
But I just find consistently thighs are a letdown in most fried chicken places.
Got it.
Like I'm happy, like Yardbird, for example, thighs there, fantastic. All day, every day. I don't think they're open at the moment, which also really bothers me. I moved to Vegas pretty much only to order Yardbird, and I can't afford it. Anyway, but this is about Bonchon.
Right.
But Bonchon also delivers in this lovely little box thing that I think travels really well.
Yes. That's what I was going to say. And you know, I mentioned earlier that it was a 30-minute drive, and our order, we got a notification that our order was ready while driving over there. So this food was sitting for like 45 minutes before we actually put it in our bodies. But it in that little box, it traveled well. And it was still crispy and actually warm.
It isn't gross after a long delivery.
No, that not at all.
Also really, and it has that lovely, I don't get spicy food because I'm a little baby boy. hurts my tongue, makes my tum-tum hurt. But the soy garlic there is brilliant. It's like crunchy and tangy. Oh, Bonchon's brilliant.
It's really good.
It's one of the few places where I want like sauce. Like I actually wish they gave me a little sauce on the side.
Yes.
Kind of. And the wings, the only comparable I've seen is, you ever hear of Koja Kitchen?
No, I'm not familiar with that.
It's a Korean place. They've got a few chains, at least in California. With them, they do soy garlic wings, and they're more on the garlicky side. But it's the same kind of the same texture, but not quite as fried. I love the crunchy banchan, though.
Yes.
That kind of crunch, but it isn't like super greasy. It's got a grease to it. I don't know what my wife's going on about. She has poor taste. Look at me. But it's greasy enough that you feel like it's like, ooh, lovely. But it's not overwhelmingly, it doesn't make you feel like you're going to go into a coma.
Yeah.
But if you order too much and you do that thing where the food's really good and you keep eating, it punishes you.
Yes.
It is a punishing meal when you push it a little too far, when you order a medium when you should have got a small.
You got to cut yourself off. That's what I thankfully was able to exercise self-restraint as I was going through this. I liked both the sauces. The soy garlic that you mentioned, delicious. Reminds me of a local place in Culver City, Honey's Kettle, which is like it's a very different style of fried chicken, but it's got like a little bit of sweetness to it as well. But the soy garlic I thought was delicious, but I really, you know, I do like spicy. I'm something of a heat seeker, as I've said on the show, and I really love their spicy. I was just devouring it. It's not overwhelmingly hot, it's just a little tangy, but it is so flavorful, and that sauce, that ample sauce combined with the crispness and texture of that skin, I just thought was delightful. The chicken I loved. I could not say enough good words about it. So you just got drums and you just got the soy garlic. That was your order, Ed?
I mean, I've got the other stuff, and I've never liked anything else I've got other than like the pots. The pot stickers are fine.
Yeah.
But it's kind of, it's kind of like going to an NFL game and getting pumped up to hear the national anthem sung well. I'm not going there for this. I don't need this. I'm not here to get pot stickers. Don't get in my way.
Yes. I will say, on that note, we got the shrimp shumai, which were steamed. It said they were drizzled with a honey Dijon dressing. I did not see the dressing, or maybe it was just very, very light. And it was just like it was thoroughly unremarkable shumai. I was like, there's no reason to ever get this. And we got another dish just to try it, which was I'm going to butcher this pronunciation. It's spelled TTEOKBOKKI. Tokboki, something like that. But this it was rice cakes and fish cakes simmered with scallions and onion.
Oh yeah,
and
we
hot
had
sauce.
That. It was just like, eh.
Yeah, There was no reason to get it. It was kind of textureless. It was just like a gooey sort of mess.
All of this stuff feels like the equivalent of other Italian shit that pizza joints sell. Like right. When a random pizza joint really good just has meatballs and they usually are cold or just not good in general. And you're like, oh, I could have got more pizza.
Right.
Or just not spent the money on this.
Yeah,
I don't
for
need
sure.
this shit.
Yeah, it's really half-assed eggplant parmesan you've got on the menu just to fill it out.
Exactly.
Mitch, what is the what was your order? What did you get?
Well, Nick, you're right. I drove out to the same location, San Gabriel, as you did. A bit of a drive, like you said, and I was worried. And I said to you, I was like, "What are you going to do?" And I said, "Did you just bring it home?" He said, "Yes." My plan was just to go eat it in the car in San Gabriel. So I did. I went to San Gabriel. I ordered online.
You had a bag of salsa in the passenger seat.
Had to move that aside. drove to San Gabriel. The pickup. I agree with you that the pickup is there was a tent there. You drive your car basically under a tent, and they bring the food out for you. You put in the make and model of your car, and they bring the food out to you. It was a good system. I ordered combo 6 wings and 3 drums. So I did half and half, the half soy garlic, half spicy. And with the drums, I think I believe I got 2 soy garlic drums. And then also that came with pickled relish. I'm sorry.
Pickled radish.
Pickled radish.
Yeah.
I was thinking relish from earlier.
That's embarrassing.
Then I got myself some seasoned French fries.
Are good.
The fries were great.
Wow.
They came with
I'd forgotten the fries came with it. Those were actually pretty good.
And I got spicy mayo and what was the other dipping sauce? Japanese mayo for dipping. And they also came with some Hunt's. Why is Hunt's ketchup packets?
Interesting.
A Hunt's sighting.
Hunt's over Heinz.
Forgive the pronunciation. Is it bibimbap? Is that how you say it?
That's close enough for comfort, I think.
And I got
so glad I wasn't the first to have to say that. To hit lie on that grenade for me.
I got a bulgogi bibimbap, and I also got a chicken katsu. I got two different entrees. Yeah, chicken katsu. Is that
may
wrong?
Not have been at a Bonchon.
I went to the same exact one that Weiger went to. KATSU.
It's just chicken restaurant from other restaurants' food.
chicken katsu, and that came with coleslaw.
Hmm. Oh, and then their coleslaw. I forgot about that.
The coleslaw was really good. Also,
yeah.
Well, I'll get to all this in a second. And then I got 2 Diet Cokes as well, Nick, because I thought I just might need a second one.
No, you got no. That is for that rocks. You got to get like fountain soda is. Whew.
It was great. So a huge order. I was starving. I had not eaten the whole day. And I got to say, every single thing I had was good.
Wow.
Every
is the bulgogi, the steak thing.
Yes. It's like, it's like steak, kind of like thin steak. That's like, I think this was sauteed with like, I don't know how they make it. Maybe they grill it and then saute it with onions and mushrooms. Nick,
yeah,
you might know more.
That's exactly it. The menu description is basically verbatim what you said. It's thinly sliced ribeye beef with a homemade sauce sauteed with mushrooms, scallions, and onions.
It was kind of a letdown when I had it. I'm happy you're happy.
Mm. Everything I had was great. Ed, I completely agree with you that the star of the show is this fried chicken. I mean,
yes.
there's no doubt. This is the stuff you go there for. I was Nick. I was like you. I did not know the drums were that big, but Ed, I was nervous about them because I usually think like a bigger drum like that. I usually worry about quality. But
right.
Yeah.
My spoon man bite of the night was a soy garlic drum that I bit into and just had so much crispiness in the drum meat was so juicy and so good.
Oh yeah.
It was fucking fantastic.
You can really take a king's bite out of that. Like, you feel like you're sitting on a throne for a second.
It feels like it's one of those restaurants it feels like a treat. Like, it feels like something a little bit special versus just like, I don't know, like Shake Shack, where I'm like, oh, this is always good. Oh, I feel good eating. Like, there is like a heft to the Bonchon. I like.
Yes. Yeah, no, it was everything was, I mean, the chicken katsu was great too. It was just one of those things of, oh, this is great. There was some rice. It was on a bed of rice. It was great, but it was that sort of thing of like, oh, it's just not as good as the fried chicken is. It's still quality entree. The bibimbap, Nick, I don't have a lot of experiences with it. Are you supposed to put like sauce on there? Because it's a combination of, you got this bulgogi in there, and then there's like rice, and then there's like there is also like kind of like cabbage or slaw in there, and it kind of is dry. And I was like, oh, if you put like sriracha on this, it would really come together. But
yeah, I mean, it oftentimes come with like a little sauce. You can use either for dipping or dumping on it. I don't know if what the right protocol is, though. I'm far from an expert on Korean cuisine.
I did not have any sauce with it, but it was still great. The seasoned fries were great. They almost forgot my two Diet Cokes, but I asked for them, and he said, "Oh, my bad," and brought them. Everything was perfect.
Wow!
I pulled over to a little side street in San Gabriel, and I was just eating this food in my car like a fucking maniac. And I was having the time of my life, Nick. I fucking loved it.
Yeah. Awesome. A good car meal can really hit the spot sometimes.
It definitely stunk my car up for sure. I think the pickle radish.
I was
going to
say, where I was in Pleasanton the first time I got Bonchon, I threw that food away in the garbage, took the garbage out, and it did hang around.
Wow.
Like, it did. It had a stank to it, but a good stank.
It was my car, I think, still does have a Bonchon stank going on. But you know what? It eliminates some of those other stanks that's in there. So Nick, I'll save my thoughts for when we wrap up on it. But
the take is coming.
The take's coming.
Well, you know what?
What is the hot take now? You said you loved it.
I mean, it's not as hot anymore, but I have a hot take.
He still has a take that's pretty hot, and that may not resonate for you, Ed, but it will definitely resonate for our listeners, because it is. I mean, I don't feel like I can oversell it. This take's going to really be something. But hey, Jesus. We should get to our final thoughts on Bonchon. So Ed, here's what we'll do: we'll each go around, we'll give sort of a summation of our review. We'll give like a closing argument, if you will, and then end it by giving a fork score from 0 to 5 forks, based on your affection for this chain. Ed, you are our guest. We will begin with you. Your thoughts, your fork score on Bonchon.
So my thing with Bonchon is it's not necessarily a meal I would go to if I wanted fried chicken proper, but the tanginess, the crunch, the fact it's still like juicy chicken, and the fact it travels so well really is something. I'm not a big fan of all the sides. I think the coleslaw's good. I think the fries are good. But I think there were like garlic fries as well you can get there. Mm. And those were just, they're always a bad call unless you know the place. But my general thing is with them is it's pretty good value and it's significant. It doesn't feel, it's significant without being overwhelming. I'll give it a 4 out of 5 personally, 4 forks.
4 forks, very good score from Ed Zitron. Mitch, I'm going to go now, and I'll let you close things out. I really like Bonchon. A couple of items that I didn't mention that we also got as part of the family meal, you get their house fried rice. Very simple fried rice. It's just eggs, red bell pepper, onions, and some of that soy garlic sauce. I just, you know, this is to Ed's point earlier about like the stuff that's not the chicken being kind of unremarkable, which I know is different than Mitch's assessment. But that's kind of how I felt.
Just want to add one thing. It was the zucchini fries I had, not garlic fries. Sorry.
Got it.
Sorry.
Oh, no worries. The fried rice, I was just like, this is nothing special. There's no reason for me to ever get this. And honestly, I would have rather just had plain steamed rice, which I wish came with the family meal. I think that would have been a better accompaniment. I'm bummed I didn't get to try the fries after hearing they're good. The pickled radish, though, I love. And, you know, if you're unfamiliar with Korean fried chicken, my understanding, this is a traditional accompaniment with the dish, and I think it just works so perfectly. It's just, it's nice and refreshing and light. A great palate cleanser. We also got, you know, both styles of cabbage. We got some kimchi and we got some coleslaw. I thought, you know, again, both good. I actually preferred the coleslaw. It may just be because I'm a slaw man. I'm more of a slaw dog than a kimchi enthusiast. But I thought it was good kimchi as well. But the star is the chicken. The chicken is the reason to go. And the chicken is fantastic. I think it's some of the best chain restaurant fried chicken that you can get, certainly at this scale. For a place with 100 locations, the chicken is fantastic. Both sauces are dynamite. You got your sweet, you got your spicy. Whichever way you go, you're gonna be in you know, I was say hog heaven, but this is chicken, so I'll say poultry heaven. You're gonna be in poultry heaven.
Nice
with Bon John.
I love it.
I'll go higher than Ed. I think this is a five fork chain. That's my assessment. Five forks for Bon John. I like the chicken that much. Despite my lack of enthusiasm for the sides and accompaniments. All right, Spoonman Mike Mitchell, let's hear it.
I had... This sucks. Fuck you. I had a different experience with the sides. I liked everything. I really liked those French fries. I liked dipping them in the mayos. Like I said, the Spoonman bite of the... And the salsa. Like I said, the Spoonman bite of the night was definitely that... That drum, that chicken drum with the soy garlic on it. Oh man, just the mite of skin and the crisp skin biting into it and the juiciness of the chicken. It fucking ruled.
Oh yeah.
Nick, what I said to you after I tried this, and I also want to point out too that the spiciness. Because when I got there, I was like, "Is there no like any sort of like dipping sauce for the wings?" And there's not. But they do such a good job of the spicy and the soy garlic kind of balancing each other out. You have a couple of the soy garlics, then you go to the spicy, and you have a couple of spices, then you go back over. It's great, yes. And it's just fun. It's fun to mix and match it and kind of cool your mouth down after a few spicy wings. It's great. And my feelings when I tried it, I said this to you, Nick.
Hold on, is this the take?
Here's the take.
Okay, everyone, get ready. Everyone, just like say if you're, you know, if you've maybe been doing something else, you're folding clothes or you've been cooking dinner, you're on your commute, you might want to pull over. Just take a second and prepare yourself for this take that you're about to hear from the Spoonman, Mike Mitchell.
Outside of some of the local chains we went to, like my beloved Pizzeria Regina, which is my favorite thing on earth. I said to you, Nick, that I think this is maybe the best chain restaurant we've visited on the show.
Wow.
Whoa.
The quality of the food I got on that day was phenomenal.
Yes.
It was incredible. I was sitting in my car eating this food, and I had a big fucking dumb smile on my face, which in this year of hell, it just... It warmed my heart, Nick, and I said to you that if there was a way to give it a sixth fork, I think it should be awarded a sixth fork because the food was so
now
good.
I feel
that,
like a prick giving it four because I love it.
Well, I didn't four is fine. Ed, too four's strong. A good score.
Ed, no offense, you fucked up. It should be. This is.
I blew him.
I mean, needless to say, this is a five fork restaurant. The quality of that chicken, Nick. Is so good and for like a single chain item,
yes,
it's hard to beat that spice in that soy garlic chicken.
And,
I mean,
and honestly, one thing to add is I've had it from two states. Like I had it in Nevada, had it in California, and it was great in both. And in fact, thinking about it, I had it in San Francisco and Pleasanton. And it was still consistently good. So yeah, I'm gonna raise it to a five just because I didn't think about the consistency across chains. But yeah, it's usually that just consistency across chains just means the place sucks and it keeps a level of shitty versus actually being good consistently across places.
Yeah. This is a five forker. This is a five forker if we've ever had one, Nick.
Yes.
This is a place that history. If it could keep this quality, yes, it deserves the sixth fork.
Wow.
If it could keep this quality across the country, it would be one of the best chains.
There we are.
Ed, you should play the sound drop that's appropriate for Weiger. You remember it. You played it before.
Oh, the shotgun one? Or the Harvey Weinstein one?
The shotgun one.
Oh, sorry. It's just... There we are. How's that good? Is that good?
Nick. Jesus Christ.
How about that? Is this the right... Is that the right one? Is that good? I'll turn it off now.
Nick, take that shotgun out of your mouth because... This place is worth living for, Nick.
Take that shotgun out and put some Bonchon in it.
100%.
Really depressing Bonchon catchphrase.
The six forks, Nick. It gets six.
Wow. Six forks from the Spoon Man, Mike Mitchell. Unprecedented. What a scorcher of a take. And hey, that was our review of Bonchon. If there's one near you, definitely check it out. It's time for a segment. I've chosen a pie. And Mitch and Ed must divine a series of clues to guess what it is. The winner gets an IOU for a pie. The loser goes home empty-stomached. This is another edition of our beloved segment, Pie in the Sky. Started singing, pie, pie, which one is in the sky? Baked a pastry that was tasty, but a mystery, which guy? And Mitch and Ed, giving it their best try, guessing this'll be the type of this pie. This'll be the type of this pie. Okay, so you'll
Dry seat in the house.
So you'll take turns solving increasingly obvious clues. They start out more obscure. They get more obvious as we go. You have two lifelines. You can ask our engineer Emma Erdbrink, who is a non-video participant in this Zoom call, or the eye test. I will screen share a close-up photo of this pie, and you can see if you can figure out anything from that image. Ed, you are our guest. You get to choose if you go first or second in Pie in the Sky. And keep in mind, the clues get more and more obvious as we go. The first one is the most obtuse.
I'll go second then, because I'm extremely bad at games of chance.
No, you made the right choice.
Usually the proper calculation.
Besides the last time we did this where Weiger had the easiest clue ever for the first clue.
All right, well, we'll see.
Is it just like, it is pecan pie? What do you think it is?
I had an obvious blueberry pie clue, okay? I fucked up. Get off my back. Here's the first clue. I hope this isn't too obvious. Much like Hank in Breaking Bad, this pie is affiliated with Marie.
I got it.
Go ahead, Mitch.
Nick, the pie is shepherd's pie.
Shepherd's pie is not correct.
Wow!
It's also not a type of pie.
Yeah, I know, but Nick really is tricky like that.
It's kind of stuff from my home country, kind of.
I mean, that's exactly why. It's probably is something from England, just to let you know.
Don't let him misdirect you. All right, next clue. This is for you, Ed.
All right.
Some pies are sweet. This is of the savory sort.
Could be like any kind of pie, really.
Some pies are sweet. This is of the savory sort. Remember, you have two
lifelines. Give me the side clue, then. I'm just going to, like, blow this whole thing.
Okay. Hold on. Actually, I should have prepared an image in advance. Give me a second. Mitch, vamp a little for me.
What the hell?
I forgot about the lifelines.
You're going to Google search?
Yeah, I'm going to Google search something. Hold on.
And then, so, okay. Hold on a second. I mean, now I just wish I had done the visual clue.
Yeah.
So it is some sort of meaty pie, is what I'm gathering.
Some pies are sweet. This is of the savory sort, is the clue.
So I'm almost sure like it should be shepherd's pie. So now it's gonna be you know what it's gonna be?
Beefsteak pie.
And it's gonna be like a kidney pie or something. It's gonna be some bullshit like that.
I'm gonna wait for him to get it. Sorry. So I can.
I always lose this. I won last time, so this is.
I think you'll get a second win today. Don't worry.
All right, hold on. I think I got a good one. This is the thing I'm dealing with is I'm realizing if I just share the tab, you'll see
you
the image title.
That.
Yeah, I should have planned for this in advance.
What you got to do is you got to pull that image to the side, Nick, onto your laptop or your computer, your desktop.
I'm on my desktop.
And then you got to just save it as an image and then open the image and then share that image. Come on, Nick.
Well, you know what's happening now is that the fucking Windows isn't opening the files.
Oh, Jesus.
Hold on. I'll get this resolved.
Make it your background.
Okay, hold on. We're seconds away here.
This is riveting podcast. This might win a potty.
Okay.
I'm not editing any of this out.
As I would say in England, a potty, like the toilet.
All right. The screen share of the mystery pie is coming. Here we go.
Wow. Wow, this is like my hot take. As exciting.
Oh, it's a chicken pot pie.
Ed, you have won Pie Is This Guy.
That's such trash.
Wait, you just have to win one question?
You showed him the insides of the pie?
What was I supposed to do? You would have gotten another question.
You had to do that before, right? Yeah. I forgot
about the lifelines. We usually have a smell test. I get a physical pie, but because we're socially distanced, I can't do that now.
How would I smell it?
That's the thing. In a normal situation, you would be in studio, and you'd be able to take a nice hefty whiff of it.
Now, hold on a second. What was the first clue?
What was the first
much
one?
Much like Hank in Breaking Bad, this pie is affiliated with Marie. Marie Callender's having the most famous frozen chicken pot pie brand.
Jesus. Also, you're like, I put in a lot of work for these things. All you ever have to do is make two clues, and it gets figured out.
I came up with four clues, actually, just through clue three and four.
Spend less time on clues three and four.
We've had ones get
more
to the fourth clue
before. More time looking
up
an image.
Dear God.
I'll start putting the image directly into the outline. That will help. That was Pie in the Sky, just like a restaurant with all your feedback. Let's open
some more
feedback.
Fucking robot work for you to do.
Congrats, Ed. You win a voucher for a future pie.
Thank you. This is new.
You owe me a pie.
Yeah,
then,
you have an IOU for a pie as well. If we were in person, you'd get the physical piece of pie. But because we're doing the socially distance, because you bested Danny Fernandez on that episode where he gets blueberry pie, I'll get you a blueberry pie next time I see you.
You know what I'd do if you gave me that pie? Fucking put it in your face, you clown.
What if it was hot? You'd scold him.
Yeah, it's true.
Fucking good. He'd have a red nose like a clown when I was done with it.
Ah.
Just like a restaurant value feedback, let's open up the feedback. Today's email comes from Adam in Portland. Adam writes, I'm trying to get a cottage bakery off of the ground, baking bread and croissants every week. Thursday nights are set for mixing the doughs, and I will usually listen to the Dough Boys. What do you listen to while cooking or being productive? Adam's Bakery,
wow.
CrustalMightyPDX.com if you're in the Portland area. Do you have as someone you exercise a lot, any sort of task that you're doing that you can have some audio going? What is your audio diet? Are you a podcast man? Are you a audiobooks man?
If I'm working out, I cannot listen to podcasts because I need rhythm and just like podcasts do not have that.
Right.
And I've tried before and it just does not, like my legs just stop and start. I have endless playlists and it's depending on my mood. Sometimes I can go like weirdly like pop rock bullshit, like Fall Out Boy if I'm embarrassing myself, all the way to like death metal. Like I have an entire In Flames playlist that I popped today because I was pissed off.
Wow.
But when I'm cooking, depending on if I'm alone, no, if I'm alone, of course, podcast, that's great. Perfect for cooking. If I'm with the wife and she's like, who the fuck are these guys this time? That's like her podcast question.
Yeah.
And I'm like, just immediately turning that off. just that shit. I don't need to explain why I'm laughing at something that is an esoteric reference to another reference to another reference.
Right.
Where a guy claims he sat on a spoon. I don't fucking...
That seems like us. Fucking,
yeah, that's one of our bits, I think.
And she's just like, it's obvious it was that pie. No.
Mitch, what's your audio diet when you're doing a task?
Ooh, audio diet when I'm doing a task. I have, you know what? I've said on this podcast before that I don't listen to podcasts much. If I have a long ride, I'll listen to podcasts more so. Or if I'm going for walks, I can do a podcast on a walk.
Yes.
But if I'm in the kitchen making something, or if I'm back home, if I'm back east, and my mom is prepping a dinner and I'm helping out or something, go with the classics, Nick. You turn on some Van Morrison, or you know what I mean, or you play some Billy Joel or some bullshit like that. Scenes from Italian Restaurant where you're making up some spaghetti. That's
there
fun.
You go.
Oh,
just some classic. I go with the classic, the classic rock radio station. You know, whatever they play, I kind of go in that direction.
Yeah, driving is classic rock time. You got to put on like a Golden Earring, Radar Love.
I don't like driving, and I've mentioned before that I will sometimes just drive in silence to
yes,
let my
we
mind
know.
Wander.
That insane.
Is psychopath.
Yes, no. Ed.
Just the sound of the tire.
It's one of the many reasons that he's fucking out of his mind.
It's when I get thinking done.
It'd be
though.
So much funnier if you had an electric car as well. So it was just completely just.
He has a hybrid.
Yeah, wait. Actually, I do.
Oh God,
I have a Chevy Bolt.
Oh, you do have an electric car now.
Yeah, releasing a Bolt. It's
so just
car.
Completely silent.
Yeah, just silent. Sometimes, but you know, sometimes I'll listen to it.
Just alone with my thoughts.
I will listen to, but you know, podcasts for me would be sometimes a commute thing. If I'm commuting by public transit, or if I am driving and I just need something to keep my mind occupied, that's podcast time or audiobook time. I like working out. Also podcasts for like household chores. That's a big podcast. Like, I feel like that's like the best, the ideal time for me, to listen to a podcast. But for like as far as working out goes, I vacillate, because there are times when I do want some music, I do want some thumping tunes, but then there are other times where I also will just like listen to something that is just people talking, because that I'll find that'll pass the time and I can really disassociate from the strenuous activity I'm doing and just sort of listen to, you know, someone talking about basketball or whatever. So I don't know, I feel like I'm generally kind of a podcast man. But let us know what you use, hashtag audio diet, while you're cooking or otherwise being productive. And again, crustalmightypdx.com for Adam in Portland's new bakery. If you have a question or comment about the world of chain restaurants, you can email us at doughboyspodcast@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail at 830-GO-DOUGH. That's 830-463-6844. And to get the Doughboys Double, our weekly bonus episode, join the Golden or Platinum Plate Club at patreon.com/doughboys. Ed Zitron, thank you so much for joining us for this episode, and thank you for sharing your thoughts on Bonchon with us. Do you have anything you'd like to plug at this time?
I'm on Twitter. I'm at Ed Zitron. If you need public relations, you just find me there. I'm not going to pretend like anyone's going to like listen to this and be like, that's a guy I want representing me. but if you're in the Vegas area and after the quarantine, we can hang out because everyone here is friends for some reason. Just very happy to have been on. Thanks for having me.
Thanks
for being here. Such a great, great chain restaurant on top of that.
Yeah,
too.
Right?
The sixth fork was busted out.
The sixth fork.
Wow. This is without precedent.
Nick.
Yeah.
It's clear that today Doughboys has changed forever.
This is the day Doughboys changed.
It's worse than the time I made Vincent D'Onofrio quit Twitter on my podcast.
That'll do it for this episode of Doughboys. Until next time, for the Spoon Man, Mike Mitchell, I'm Nick Weiger. Happy eating.
See ya.
Want more Doughboys? Check us out on Patreon. Join the Golden Plate Club for an extra episode every Tuesday, the Doughboys Double, which you can listen to on your favorite podcast app. Or join the Platinum Plate Club and get access to our Discord server, the Doughscored, to connect with fellow Dough fans and me. And Mitch. Subscribe for the price of a combo meal only at patreon.com/doughboys. That's patreon.com/doughboys. Want to see the sources for this week's intro? Check the episode description.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.